Wonderful. Well, let's, if you got your Bible or a notebook or anything, you can go ahead and pull that out. We're going to dive into God's Word together today as we talk about miracles. If you don't have a Bible or anything, the scripture will be on the screen for you. I was thinking about this idea of miracles and why miracles are encouraging for us. And I think it's kind of a specific thing because honestly, miracles happen around us all the time. I mean, we talk about the miracle of life, miracle of birth. If you really begin thinking of all of the small things, the tiny things going on within you for you to be able to be breathing and looking at me and listening to me and all that taking place at the same time is really miraculous. But in the sense of talking about miracles, as in God directly intervening within situations in our life, making ways that could not happen unless he specifically got involved and changed something or did something, that's really what we're talking about today. The dictionary defines a miracle as this: an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Now, that's Webster's dictionary, and I just want to make sure we all know that Webster probably thinks that doesn't happen as much, but that's happening all the time. God is so intimately involved in the affairs of humans, in the walking and living and talking and all of the things that we do every day, all day, especially if you are a follower of Jesus. You're called a child of God, a son and a daughter, and there's not a moment that passes by that he is not directly involved with what's going on within your life. And so, but a miracle in this sense is this obvious intervention. Wow, look what God did. And we're going to hear a testimony today in just a few moments. I'm going to have an abbreviated sermon, and then we're going to tune in and listen to a powerful testimony of a couple connected with our church of a God intervention. And hopefully it'll build faith for you today that maybe you have a miracle that you really need God to come through for you. And we're going to give you an opportunity to pray with somebody and to linger and seek God today and expect him to do something powerful in your life. We're going to look for a moment at Mark chapter 10. With a man known as Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. And this is where we pick up the story in Mark 10, starting in verse 46. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus," that is the son of Timaeus, and some tell us that the reason it calls him the son of Timaeus is because Timaeus was a blind man. So it's the blind son of a blind man is what history tells us. "So Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me!' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.'" That would have been awkward if you were like, "Shh, be quiet. Oh, no, man, all right, get up, come on. Yeah, you can come." You know, it's like, he was like, "Shh, oh, Jesus, yeah, that's what I thought. I was just getting him and helping him. I knew Jesus wanted to see him." It's like the time the disciples, all the kids ran up to Jesus, and they were like, "Get out of here." And Jesus was like, "Call them to me." They were like, "Yeah, that's what we meant. Call them to you." So then it goes on and says in Mark 10:50, "Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." Verse 51, it says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Wow. I want to look at a few things within this passage. The first one is that Bartimaeus had a need. He really had two needs. Bartimaeus had a need that someone could solve, and that was his poverty. Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was in need of people to help take care of him. And honestly, in this time, in this day and age, he was a person that honestly was allowed to be doing what he's doing. There are some people that work hard or have certain conditions, things going on in their life that we're pleased to help. And do you know there are also sometimes that we feel like we're enabling people? But Bartimaeus was doing what he was supposed to be doing at that time. And so he was reliant on people to help meet a need of his. But then Bartimaeus also had a need that only God could come through and do something for him. His blindness. He needed a healing. And sometimes the two needs are mingled together. Sometimes it's something that only God can solve, but he helps meet the need through people. And much like Bartimaeus as well, maybe it's provision from someone. You're praying to God for a miracle, and then somebody approaches you and helps meet that need, meet that miracle. Maybe it's even healing at the hands of doctors, that you as a Christian seeking medical help, praying in faith, asking God to go before you, asking God to heal you, and maybe it's not instantaneous, but God begins to work with doctors and people and brings about a healing in that way. I think it's foolish of us not to celebrate that as well as God working a miracle. We have needs at times, though, that cannot be solved without clear divine intervention. And maybe you have a need for a miracle today. Maybe it's a sickness or a disease. Maybe it's in your marriage and you feel like you've tried all these things and something's just got to break. Something's got to change today. I need a miracle, God. Maybe it's an addiction. And again, you've tried, you've gone, you've talked, and today you just say, God, I need a miracle. This thing's got to break off of me today. I need you to do something supernatural to help me. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's financial. We believe that God's still working miracles today, the same that he did in Bartimaeus' day. So Bartimaeus had a need. The second thing is that Bartimaeus believed. It says that when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." See, we reach out to people that we feel can meet our need. He calls Jesus Son of David, signifying he believed Jesus was this Messiah, this Savior, this promised one that was spoken about in scriptures that God was sending to take away the sin of the world. That's what he means when he calls him Son of David, of the Davidic kingly line that God said, through David's line, I'm going to send a Savior. And so this is, in Isaiah 35:5, it says, and this is thousands of years before this, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped," talking about this time that a man would come as the Messiah, as the Savior. And he believed that this man passing by him today was the man that Isaiah prophesied about. So he calls out to him. He asks Jesus, "Have mercy on me." Do you get what I'm saying? That he would not have asked Jesus, "Have mercy on me," if he didn't believe that Jesus had the power to do something in his life, something for where he was. And maybe he was sitting on the roadside and he had heard commotion at times and stories as Jesus begins his 3 years of ministry at the age of 30 before he's crucified at 33. And maybe he's hearing stories as people passing by and as he's at places about this Jesus who's healing, who's opening the eyes of the blind and opening the ears of the deaf and raising the dead and preaching about the kingdom of God. Stories of healing and stories of hope. And he maybe begins to believe in this Jesus and that can be his story too. And here's the good thing to remember is that the story of one person can mean faith for another person. And so in a moment, a few minutes, when we take a look at this testimony, that's part of it, that seeing the story of somebody else sometimes can be the faith in you to believe that it can be real for you as well. See, so Bartimaeus had a need. Bartimaeus believed, but Bartimaeus really believed. Many rebuked him, told him, "Be quiet," but he shouted all the more. I feel like that with my kids sometimes. I'm like, "Shh, be quiet," and they get even louder. I feel like I'm hitting the wrong volume button. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm pressing down and it's going up. There's a malfunction here. But Bartimaeus really believed. And the simple thing I want to draw out here is there comes a time when people become so desperate that they won't allow anyone or anything to keep them from Jesus any longer. Maybe you've been trying for yourself too long. You've been trying to manage. I know people that are in love with Jesus that have gone through things before, and the enemy begins to play tricks on their mind, and they know they should go to God, but they don't. They know they should spend time listening to him and speaking with him and allowing him to do the work, but yet it's almost like they go in the other direction, or they feel in a moment that their need isn't important enough to bring to God. I'm saying maybe you're in here and you've been trying for yourself for too long. And maybe today, maybe it's time you didn't let anyone or anything keep you from Jesus today. Yes. And we're going to give you that opportunity. The other thing is that Jesus is responsive. It says that Jesus stopped and he said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Some of you have been sad for a long time. I love that. When Jesus calls him, cheer up, Charlie. That's like the least known song in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's a really sad song, but cheer up, Charlie. Today, maybe God wants to cheer some of you up. He wants to lift you on your feet today as he calls you to him. And here's the thing. Jesus never turns away from a cry of faith.
Come on. That's right.
Out of a crowd following Jesus that day, there is one man that grabs his attention, and it's the man saying, I need you. I need you, Jesus. So he's walking along in a crowd, and his disciples are following him, and maybe they're talking, or he's teaching, and he's doing works, and somebody yells after him, and that's the thing that gets him to stop. And there's somebody that has a need for me today, and the good thing is that God knows your needs even before you ask him. But maybe you're here today and you're calling out. And if you have a cry of faith today, then you have the attention of God.
Yes, come on.
So in just a moment, we're going to watch this testimony. So we'll have a nice pause as this really loud screen comes down. Bartimaeus was expectant. See what I mean? Earlier, I was making a joke. I was like, what if we just stood in silence the entire time? I wonder how many times I could go back and forth before it hits the ground. I'm just kidding. But Bartimaeus was expectant. This is what the scripture says. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now the cloak in Bartimaeus's time was actually like the badge of a beggar. It's what he had, what was given to him that made it okay for him to sit and to beg. It was like his legal right with that cloak to beg.
Wow.
And yet it says that he threw it aside when Jesus called him.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Bartimaeus knew that if Jesus was calling him, then Jesus would take care of him. That if Jesus was calling him, Jesus would take care of him. And I think it goes deeper than the healing. Of course, he wanted to be healed, but I think that what Bartimaeus knew was that whatever Jesus was going to do, he was going to take care of him.
Yes. Come on.
Whether he healed him
right.
or whether he didn't.
Yeah.
But now that he's calling me, he's going to take care of me.
Right.
This is a deeper faith. This is a place that we're all called to walk in.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. The miracle is meant to lead us into greater devotion and greater affection for the miracle maker. But sometimes we get so focused on what we need done for us that we forget about the one who's doing it or can do it. And we get things backwards and we get discouraged and we walk away because he didn't. But the deeper faith is understanding that whatever is going on, whatever, as a child of God, God allows into my life, he has a purpose in. Otherwise, we wouldn't have these scriptures that say, rejoice when you face trials of many kinds, my brothers. Imagine that encouragement, these persecuted Christians wondering what's going on.
Wow.
And he writes to them in James and he says, rejoice, celebrate, praise God when you face trials of many kinds, brothers. Because you know that the testing of your faith, because that's what's happening to you right now, your faith is being tested. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. The struggle is producing something in you. It produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work.
Wow.
So you will be complete, lacking nothing. That is the deeper faith. That is the deeper understanding that he has called me to himself. And if he's called me, he will take care of me. And I'm going to trust him in whatever that looks like.
Yes.
God loves to lift the pain of his children. He loves to move mountains that we can't climb. He loves to make a way where there is no way. But he also loves you enough to know when not to.
So good.
I know that's the popular thing. And that's where we trust him. That's where we have this center of ourselves that understands he is good and he is holy and he is good to me.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep looking at him and I'm going to keep seeking him and I'm going to keep going after him and I'm going to keep growing and I'm going to keep worshiping in the midst of. And sometimes that takes a greater faith than to get pulled out of. And it's in that place that we can agree with Job, where he says, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Charity and I held on to in our first of three miscarriages. And it's that same heart, that same posture that we carried through three healthy pregnancies. And when we thought we were going to lose Everlyn and they were telling us we're really not sure and we began to pray and trust God, that was still our heart. You give and you take away, but whatever happens, we bless your name because we know you're good to us.
Yes.
Now that he's called me, he will take care of me. And our eyes always remain on the Maker above all else. We're going to take a moment. And it's a rather long testimony. It's going to kind of lead us through to the end of our sermon together. I'm going to come back and make a few comments. And then we're going to begin to worship. And we're going to have people here to be able to pray for you. But I want you to tune in, listen to this testimony, let it build your faith.
We all know that what God does for one is not just for one. What God does for one is also what God does for all. We've been titled over the years as the M&Ms, and you can see tonight I'm the green one. What does that mean? The miracle meads. And you know, I think it's significant because we should become a people of faith that expect God to do something regularly in our lives. When the activity of God is present, you can guarantee there's going to be results that follow. Amen, everybody? So we're going to share a few moments. Melissa, my wife, my beautiful wife, Melissa, and God has done a miracle in her life. Listen to the story as we tell you the recent miracle that God has done for us.
So it's important that I give you a little backstory. In October of 2011, I was diagnosed with invasive lobular carcinoma and underwent a double mastectomy and 36 radiation treatments. December of 2017, I was downgraded to annual checkups only. So I really believed that I would never face cancer again. I just believed that was part of my story and it was over and behind me forever. So now fast forward to March of this year.
March of this year, we began to see, we're getting a little older, and we started to see that Melissa maybe was gaining some weight, believe it or not. Whereas they're thinking, man, you know, maybe our bodies are just at that age of change happening. And she just asked me one morning, what do you think about this? And I'm like, no big deal. Don't sweat it. How do you feel? Fine. Didn't think anything of it. A few weeks had passed, and she actually we started seeing growth a lot more in her abdomen area. And so I told her, hey, Melissa, why don't you jump on the scale? Because she had just had a report, just went to her normal checkup, and they looked at her and they felt that area. Any pain? No. You know, just a little bit right here, maybe.